turn with me to 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. We're continuing our series. This is the final one in the series titled Love Unrivaled. And today's message is transforming love, transforming love. You know, in his book, Chicken Soup for the Soul, Eric Butterworth tells of a college sociology class that was sent into the Baltimore slums in order to take case histories of 200 young boys. The students were required to write an evaluation of each boy's projected future. And in virtually every case, the students wrote, "He hasn't got a chance. He hasn't got a chance." Some 25 years later, another professor came across these earlier case studies and decided to do a follow-up on that. And so with the exception of 20 boys who had either died or moved away, the study revealed that 176 of the remaining 180 boys had gone on to surpassing success, many becoming lawyers, doctors, and leading businessmen in the community. When the men were asked for the reasons that contributed to their successes, they all pointed to one particular teacher. Teachers, listen up. They all pointed to one particular teacher who had influenced them. So the professor interviewed the teacher. She was still alive. And he visited with her and questioned her. And she apparently had influenced these boys' destiny from poverty and crime to each one of them becoming a great success story. And when asked how she thought she had done this, she said, "It's really very simple. I just loved the boys. I just loved the boys." Folks, love transforms people. And if human love can have such transforming power, how much more the unconditional, unlimited, and unchanging love of God? You see, God created us to love and to be loved, first and foremost in relationship with Him, and secondly, in human relationships, out of the overflow of our love relationship with Him. But sin, as we know in the Garden of Eden, sin broke that relationship with God, and it caused Adam and Eve to run and hide from God. Ever since then, all of us have sinned, and we are all hiding from God until Christ comes and draws us unto Himself through His grace, and we come to know Him. Sin changed our view of ourselves. Adam and Eve were naked and ashamed. They were always naked, but before they knew no shame. But now they were ashamed, and they made coverings for themselves to protect themselves against one another, and they began to blame one another, and strife came in to their relationship with one another. And ever since Adam and Eve fell, we all find ourselves in the same state, separated from God by sin, feeling unworthy, like we don't measure up, and protecting ourselves from one another and experiencing strife and brokenness in our relationships. But God's great love transforms everything. Read with me, if you will, 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 12. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us. And the underlying message of this passage is that God's love transforms us. It saves us. It changes us. It changes our relationship with God. It changes the way we view ourselves. And it changes our love for others. It enables us to do what we cannot do in ourselves. You see, God's transforming love enables us, first of all, to love Him. To love Him. Verse 10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that He first loved us. Verse 19 says, we love Him because He first loved us. Because we couldn't love God except He had first loved us.
Amen.
we are unable to love God in ourselves. You see, verse 10 begins with the words, not that we loved God. You see, there was a time in each and every one of our lives when we did not love God. We didn't love God. We were living for ourselves. We didn't love God when we were out partying and having a good time. We didn't love God when we were out drinking, dancing, smoking, or sleeping around. We didn't love God when we were just climbing the ladder of success with no thought for Him and no commitment to Him or His service. We didn't love God when we were out living for success and the material things of this world. We loved self. We were living to please self. We loved the world. We loved sin, but we did not love God. In fact, earlier in this letter, John argues that if we love the world and the things of this world, then we cannot love the Father. The love of the Father is not in us, he says. If we would be honest, before we were saved, we cared very little about God. We might have been religious, but we cared very little about God. We lived with virtually no regard for him. But to the contrary, the Apostle Paul says, we were God's enemies. Not only did we not love God, but we were his enemies. An enemy is an opponent. We were opposed to God. We were on Satan's side. He is God's adversary. He is God's enemy. And the Bible says, when we were in our sin, apart from Christ, we were all God's enemies. But here's the amazing truth. Even when we did not love God, even when we cared nothing for Him, even when we were living our life with no thought for Him, He loved us. When we didn't care anything about Him, and we were living in opposition to Him and to His will, He chose to show us how much He loved us by offering His Son as the supreme sacrifice for our sin. We couldn't have a relationship with God because our sin meant that we were God's enemies. But God loves us so much and desires to have a relationship with us that He was willing to pay the ultimate price to deal with the problem of our sin so that it would be possible for us to be transformed. Transformed from His enemies to His friends. Which the Bible calls reconciliation. We were reconciled to God. And now we are His friends. And He also calls us His children. You see, we are only able to love God because He first loved us. Love begins with God. He is the source of all true love. I know a lot of couples fall in love or they think they're in love. But a lot of people really fall in lust. That's why so many marriages break up.
That's right.
Or some, even though they stay married, the marriage goes sour or it gets cold.
Yeah.
But all true love begins with God. He is the source of love. Love is not something that we can muster up within ourselves, but it flows in response to the experience of God's love in our hearts. As John said, we love God because He first loved us. The word because suggests a cause and an effect. God's love is the cause. Our response to that love is the effect. It reminds me of the story of a woman with a sinful past who anointed Jesus' feet with her tears. Jesus had been invited to the home of a prestigious religious leader, a Pharisee, where a bunch of other religious leaders had gathered. They loved religion, but they didn't love God, and they didn't love Jesus. They had no respect, no regard for Jesus. They did not welcome Him with a kiss, as was the custom of the day. They did not even offer to have their servant wash his feet, which was a courtesy that was extended to anyone who came through your doors in ancient times. This was a blatant act of dishonor to Jesus. But an uninvited guest intruded upon their dinner. We don't know who she was, only that everybody knew who she was and that they knew her reputation. She was an immoral woman. But what they did not know was that she had met Jesus and that she had experienced his unconditional love and that her life had been completely transformed. And with her heart now overflowing in love towards him, she came to worship him, bringing an alabaster box of expensive ointment with her. The woman came from behind the space where in ancient times the servants waited in order to serve those that sat at the table. She had an attitude of humility as she came to Jesus. Tears flowed down her face as she melted to her knees with the love that she had for Jesus. Her tears flowed down as she washed his feet and bent to kiss them. She had no towels, so she dried his feet with her hair. The Pharisee and his guests were offended at such a spectacle. If Jesus were truly a prophet, they said, he should know who this woman is that is touching him. And he should never allow her to do such a thing. But Jesus knew the accusations in their heart, though they did not vocalize them. And he responded, I'm telling you that though her sins were many, they have been forgiven. And that's why she has shown such great love. But the one to whom little is forgiven loves little. See, it didn't mean that they didn't have a lot of sin. It just means they didn't have a lot of brokenness to come to Jesus in repentance to receive forgiveness. And that's why they had little love, because they didn't see how great their need was for forgiveness. Jesus said, because her sins were great, she has sown such great love. When we experience God's great love in our heart, it changes us. It transforms who we are. When we realize that he loved us despite all that we have done, how can we not love him in return? When we truly come to know in our heart that despite all of our rebellion, despite all of our repeated rejection and sin, he still loves us. He has never given up on us. It moves us to want to reciprocate that love. A truth the songwriter so aptly expressed in the beautiful old hymn, Oh, How I Love Jesus. Yeah. And each of the verses... Yeah. Reflect on all that God in his great love has done to save us and how he loves us so much that he is with us in every moment, in every trial, in every difficulty. And then comes the beautiful chorus, Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first love me. God love transforms our life. It changes us from a sinner to a servant of God. It changes us from an enemy to a friend. It changes us from being estranged from God to being a child of God. It changes us from being lost and a sinner to being a worshiper of God. Hallelujah. God's love transforms us from being one who cared nothing for him to one who loves him with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and with all of our strength. Hallelujah. If you've truly experienced God, you cannot help but love him back. Hallelujah to his name. God's transforming love enables us to love him. And God's transforming love enables us to love ourselves. See, before they sinned, Adam and Eve were naked. But after they sinned, they were naked and ashamed. They didn't feel like they measured up. They didn't feel that they were worthy. They felt that they did not meet up to the standards. In Matthew 22, verses 37 through 39, Jesus said, Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment, and the second is like unto the first. Love your neighbor as yourself.
That's right.
As yourself. God wants us to love ourselves. When he commands us to love your neighbor as yourself, it implies that there is an appropriate love, a healthy love for self that is good and pleasing to God. We're certainly not talking about the self-absorbed, narcissistic love that is prevalent in our society today. With people living only for themselves, they don't care who they hurt. All they want to do is to please themselves. Whatever makes them happy, regardless of who they hurt along the way. Narcissistic, self-absorbed love. We're not talking about the me first attitude that pervades society today. But it means that we are to love ourselves the same way that God loves us. To place the same value, the same dignity, the same worth upon ourselves that God places upon us. Sometimes the hardest person to love is ourselves, because we know all of our failures. We know all of our shortcomings. We know all of our bad habits. And sometimes life's experiences can make us feel unworthy of love. Whether it is the rejection or abuse of a parent, or a friend that betrayed us, or a spouse that cheated on us, or a divorce. These things make us feel unworthy. These things make us feel like we don't measure up. These things make us feel that we are unlovable. But God wants us to know that he loves us, and he places upon us extreme value and worth, and he wants to free us that we can love ourselves.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes.
God's transforming love frees us to love ourselves.
Yes.
When we are bound by the fear of rejection, insecurity, and low self-esteem, we cannot be who God is calling us to be. And we are not free to love others the way that God wants us to love them. And oftentimes, when we are bound by rejection, insecurity, and low self-esteem, it moves us to take paths in life that are destructive. For instance, a young lady who perhaps did not have a father that loved her or was actively involved in her life. She feels unworthy and unlovable. So she ends up giving herself away to men.
Well,
may end up with a string of pregnancies. I told you a few weeks ago about a lady that I was ministering to in the community. 5 children by 5 different men. And it all comes from not being able to love herself and respect herself and honor herself. You see? When we are bound by rejection, insecurity, and low self-esteem, it moves us to seek paths that are destructive for our life, the path of sin. The fear of rejection, insecurity, and low self-esteem causes us also to put up walls, to be mistrustful of others, to protect ourselves. But when we experience God's love, it begins a process of healing and restoration in our lives. I used to be bound by terrible low self-esteem, which caused me to be very insecure and shy. When I was a senior in Bible college, thank God that I experienced God's great love at 11, and it kept me from a destructive path in my life. But when I was a senior in Bible college, I did my ministry internship, and I was always a straight A student. And in my internship, I got all A's in preaching, teaching, leadership, every area that it covered. But in the comments, my supervising pastor wrote, "Maria will never make it in ministry, because she is terrible at interpersonal relationships." It was like a knife to my heart. First of all, because it was a blemish on my straight A record. And secondly, because I knew it was true. Because I knew it was true. And it cut to my heart. Because since the age of 11, when I was called to the ministry, when I met Jesus, all I ever wanted to do was to serve him, was to be in ministry. And now I'm being told by an experienced pastor that I'm going to be a failure at the one thing that I live for.
Yeah.
And I knew what he said was true. And I went back to my dorm room and I began to pray. I began to say, God, I know what he said is true. And I don't know why I am the way I am, because I did not. And I need you to change me, because I can't change myself. And God showed me the root of it. Growing up, my father later came to know the Lord, and I thank God for the changes that God brought in his life. But growing up, my father had a very bad temper, and he put me down a lot. And he would tell me that I was stupid. He would tell me that I couldn't do things right. And it really, I didn't know that that was the root of it. But God began to show me that that was the root of it. And I began to experience healing. And God began to make his incredible love for me known. He began to minister as I was at prayer, Psalm 139 to me. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. How precious are my thoughts towards you. And he began to minister to me, 1 John 4, that he had loved me with a perfect love, and that his love casts out all fear. And as he began to minister these truths to me, it was like chains that were coming off of my heart. They were just being broken one right after the other. And when I returned to the church where I had attended before Bible college, after I was home for a few weeks, one of my close friends came to me and asked, what happened to you in Bible college? I said, what are you saying? Why are you asking? He says, because you're a different person. He said, it's like the difference between night and day. Folks, you don't understand that I was bound by such low self-esteem. When I came into the room, I sat towards the back in the most inconspicuous place I could. I walked with my head down. If you didn't say hi to me, I didn't say hi to you, because I didn't want to say hi to you and you not say hi back, because I didn't want to be rejected. These were the ways that this low self-esteem had broken my life. I could never have made it in ministry that way. But God's great love has changed me. God's great love has broken the chains over my life and freed me not only to love him, but to love myself and to be able to love others as well the way he wants me to. Hallelujah. It was the love of God that healed my soul and set me free to be who he wants me to be and to do what he has called me to do. Won't you let the love of God change you? Won't you let the love of God heal you? Won't you let the love of God free you so that you can walk in the wholeness and freedom that he wants for you? Thirdly, God's transforming love enables us to love others. You see, loving God was never meant to be done in isolation. You know, a lot of people say, oh, I love God. If I just didn't have to deal with people, then I could just really live for God. Folks, how can we love God whom we cannot see? If we can't love our brother whom we do see. That's what John says, verses 11 and 12. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete. God's love enables us to see others the way God sees them. As we look at the faces that surround us each and every day, the love of God enables us to see them differently. Many years ago, when right after the church first started, we had a young lady that came to us in a very broken state. She wasn't saved at the time, but she came to know Christ, and she came to me, and I began to minister to her, meeting with her on several occasions. But as it came out, her husband was in the Coast Guard. They had just been transferred down here a few months before. She didn't have any friends in the area, and her husband began to cheat on her. And so someone invited her to the church. That's how she came. She accepted Christ, and I began to minister to her. She was filled with anger. Anybody that she knew, her family back home, her friends back home, they were telling her, pack his stuff, put it out on the sidewalk, change the locks, do all of this kind of stuff. You know, the secular kind of counsel that you would get. And she says, but I don't want to lose my marriage. She said, I love my husband. She said, I am so broken. She said, I don't even want to see his face right now. I'm so hurt. She said, but I don't want to lose my marriage. And so I began to counsel with her, and I said, you know, just pray that God will help you to be able to love him through you. Let you love God and you let God love him through you. You know? And so after a while, he packed his stuff and he went and he moved in with a woman. But he still wanted to come over and see their little, I think the daughter was 3 years old at the time. And so she said, what do I do? I said, you let him come. And when he's there, I said, you treat him with love as a friend. I said, you don't give yourself to him physically. I said, but you treat him with love as a friend. I said, you offer him coffee or whatever he likes to drink. I said, you make a sandwich for him if it's lunchtime or whatever. You let him have time with his daughter. You treat him with love and respect. She said, that's going to be so hard to do. I said, you love God and let God love him through you. And so this went on for several months, and he would come over and visit the child, and she would offer him whatever, a sandwich, coffee, whatever. And after a while, he started saying, you know, you're so different. And she would say, what do you mean? He goes, you're taking this so differently than I thought you would. And then after a while, he'd say, you have such peace.
That's right.
So I can't believe the peace you have. He said, I wish I had that kind of peace
That's
in my life.
Right.
He said, how are you taking this the way you are? And then she told him, she said, well, I found Jesus a few months ago, and he's made a lot of difference in my life. And she just went on. She didn't go any further than that. After a while, he kept coming over, and he started confiding in her all the troubles he was having with the new woman he was with. She said, Pastor Marie, you don't know how hard it was for me to sit there and just listen and be supportive of him. She said, but I said, God, just love him through me. And she said, he would come week after week. He would tell her all the troubles he was having. She would listen, and she would be a friend to him and everything. After a while, he said, you know, I can't believe I've been such a jerk. I've messed up my marriage. I can't believe that I've broken our marriage. And he said, I want to come back home. I want to break it off with this other woman, and I want to come back home. Folks, I want to tell you something in a real and practical way. When we let the love of God change us, the love of God changes the way we love others, even in the most difficult and trying of circumstances, God will enable us to love them and through us. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. Regardless of how difficult or unlovable they may be, God will love them through us. He will enable us to see their intrinsic worth as someone whom he loves and for whom Christ died. By the way, I want to finish the story with you real quick. Their marriage was restored, and that they eventually got restationed to North Carolina. I heard from her like 10 years later. They were still married. They were going to church together. He had accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, and they had a second baby. Amen. And 10 years later, they were going strong for the Lord. God is good. Amen. And his love changes, and his love heals. Hallelujah. Because we have experienced God's love, we are empowered to love, and we want to love. We want to embody Christ and reflect his love to those around us. And God's love flows through us, making him visible to others. Wind is invisible, but when it bends the branches or rustles the leaves, its presence is made visible, its presence is made tangible. Well, love is an invisible entity. But when the love of God transforms our life and God's love is flowing through us to others, it makes God visible, makes God tangible. Like this cheating husband telling his wife, what's the difference in you? How are you having such peace in your life? It was the love of God through her being made manifest to him. Several years ago, I was eating in Applebee's restaurant with a friend, and as we were about to pray for our meal, I asked the waitress, is there anything you'd like us to pray for? And the restaurant was quite slow at that time, so she sat down at her table, and she just began to pour her life out to us. She was a young lady, early 20s. She had had an affair with a married man who had promised to leave his wife and marry her. He got her pregnant. Then he wanted nothing to do with her. She was struggling. She was a waitress. She was trying to go to school. And she had had a very bad upbringing, had no support from her family. And we listened to her, and we comforted her, and told her how much God loved her, and we prayed for her. We went in a couple of times thereafter. It was the fall, and we went in a couple of times thereafter. She would always come over to our table and talk with us and ask us to pray and what have you. And as Christmas approached, she shared with us how much she was hurting, because she said, I don't even have money to buy my son one gift or to get him a little tree. And she said, I feel so terrible. I feel so terrible. Well, we prayed with her that God's love would be made real to her and what have you. And that Christmas, we were having our annual Christmas leaders party. And normally we play a game where we buy these little $5 gifts and we do a funny game where we exchange the gifts. But that year, instead, I asked our leaders if they would to bring gifts for a little 2-year-old boy and for a lady in her early 20s. And all of them readily agreed. And that Christmas, as we gathered for our party, they brought the gifts in. And after the gifts were collected, I went and bought one of those little, you know, pre-lit trees or whatever. And a friend and myself went to Applebee's one night, we called her and asked when she would be working. And we went one night when her shift was over, and we asked her to come out to the car with us. And there was a trunk full of gifts and a Christmas tree. And she just broke down crying in the parking lot. And she said, no one has ever done anything like this for me. And I know God was touching her heart that day. And, you know, we followed up with her several times thereafter. But then after a while, she was no longer working at the restaurant, and we lost track of her. And several years later, to my surprise, on a Wednesday night, she showed up here in church. After the service, she came up to me and she said, I just had to come and tell you, Pastor, I've accepted Jesus. She said, I'm studying for youth ministry because I want to reach other young women with the love of God before they make the mistakes that I have made. Folks, I want you to know the love of God transforms everything. The love of God changes everything. It enables us to love Him. It enables us to love ourselves, to treat ourselves with dignity and worth and respect. And it enables us to love others as God loves them through us. Won't you allow the love of God to transform you today? Won't you allow the love of God to heal you from past hurts and brokenness that are like chains upon our soul, keeping us bound from being and living as He desires us to? And won't you allow the love of God to free you to love others with His love, the way He wants you to love them? Some of us here may never have experienced the love of God before. Some of us here today may need a fresh baptism of His love. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for Your great love. For Your great love. No one has ever loved us the way that You have loved us. We are forever grateful to You for Your love. It completely changes our life, Lord God. Father, I pray for those here this morning that may have never experienced Your love. They may not know You in a personal and living way. And I pray that You would make Your love manifest towards them this morning, oh God. And I pray, Lord, for those of us who do have a relationship with You, but we have need Your love, Lord God, to change us. We need Your love, Lord God, to heal us from the brokenness of our past. We need Your love to break the chains that hold us back from being who You've called us to be and doing what You've called us to do. And we need Your love, Lord God, to flow through us so that we can love others the way You want us to love them. So that we can love our spouse the way You want us to love our spouse. Not with a selfish, fleshly love, but with a godly love. So that we can love our children the way You want us to love them, Lord God. Father, so that we can love our brothers and sisters in Christ the way You want us to. So that we can love the stranger in the restaurant or the grocery store or on the street or at work the way You want us to, Lord God. Lord, let Your love transform our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen.